Welcome to the Pop-Up Podcast, From Brides to Brands, Episode 2. On this episode, we're digging into the numbers, breaking down the pricing and booking differences between weddings and branding. If you've been curious about the numbers, this is my tell-all episode. I'm sharing my rates, where they started versus how I price my services now, all of it. This is From Brides to Brands, a private pop-up podcast for burned out, frustrated wedding photographers. I'm pulling back the curtain on what it takes to either supplement or replace your wedding photography income with brand sessions, and why the leap isn't nearly as big as you think. I'm your host, Abby Grace, a former wedding photographer who made the switch into branding and lived to tell the tale with more freedom and fulfillment than even I had believed possible. A few years ago, my husband Matt and I decided to head out to a cabin in rural Virginia for our yearly planning meeting. We made sort of a retreat out of it. If you've ever seen the getaway cabins, they are super Instagrammable. They're basically like tiny homes with a big panoramic window. Yeah, we reserved one of those, and we brought a whiteboard and markers and notebooks, everything that we could need to map out our best year ever. We didn't have any kids yet, but we were in the middle of the adoption process. So we were trying to map out our year in a way that would give us some flexibility if and when we got the call from our agency. Spoiler alert, we did get the call that year. Best call ever. That's another story for another time. But I had already, at that point, started to feel the pull to move out of weddings. And with the hope of parenthood on the horizon, I knew that we needed to talk more concretely about what that might look like for our business. I had been photographing brands on the down low for a few years at that point, and I remember sitting on the bed in that cabin and talking through what it might look like to have branding as a more consistent stream of revenue. Gosh, I remember being so nervous talking about this. It was the first time we'd ever discussed, like, I mean, we had talked in the background about, like, I'm starting to feel unsettled with weddings, but, like, actually having a business discussion of, like, what is the plan to move out of weddings? Like, I was so nervous. We hadn't marketed branding as a service at all at that point. Everything had been word of mouth. So if we turned up the volume on talking about the service, the discussion there was how much income could we hope to bring in? Like, okay, we know we want to move out of weddings. What does that actual break? Like, let's make a plan for that. So we started talking about a subscription model and what pricing might look like for that and how many clients did I anticipate being able to book for that. And all the while, I remember a sinking feeling in my stomach, like, there is no way this is actually going to work. And if we'd followed through on that plan that we made, it probably wouldn't have worked. And the reason is because I did not understand that pricing for commercial work is not the same as pricing for weddings and portraits. When we made that plan that I didn't really think was going to work, we were really only talking about a partial pivot. We were talking about diversifying our income with branding, not replacing it entirely, because I did not believe for a moment that there was a way to replace wedding income with brand photography, not fully. I thought I would be able to get down to maybe like 5-ish weddings per year and then make up the lost income with a brand subscription model to at least have some more consistency. Well, neither of those things ended up happening. I ended up being able to step completely away from weddings, and we never launched the subscription service. Instead of simply supplementing, I actually managed to replace my photography income with brand sessions. So whether you're looking for an off-ramp entirely or you just want to supplement your wedding income, here is how that is possible. Brand photography is a branch of commercial photography, which means we do not charge for sessions the same way that you charge for a portrait session. So with weddings or portraits or any kind of photography meant for personal consumption and enjoyment, those photographs terminate on the client. And by that, I mean that outside of clients sharing their images on social media and referring you by word of mouth, those photographs serve the client and then it kind of ends there. Like, you'll use them for your portfolio, you'll use them for commercial purposes, but the actual client, the purpose of those photographs terminates on them. Their parents and family and friends will enjoy the photographs too, but the purpose of those photos is to reach the client first, and then anything on top of that is kind of like extra frosting. With commercial photography, though, the intended purpose of the images is to go out and make money for your clients, which makes them a business asset, not a personal heirloom. And because the photographs are intended to help generate revenue, they are priced to reflect that potential. Before I quit the wedding industry, my rate for an engagement or an anniversary portrait session was $1,200 for a roughly like 1.5 to 2 hour session. And that rate included the high resolution digital files and a set of 4x6 proof prints. For a 1.5 hour brand shoot, my current rate is $2,800. And that includes the final high resolution files and a commercial release, and that's it. Brand sessions aren't just another type of portrait session. Whereas weddings are a matter of working B to C, business to consumer, brand photography means you're working B to B, business to business. Your clients are other business owners, which means their end use of that product is, like we've discussed, different, which changes the value of the product to the client. It also means that your client is in a different headspace and uses a different thought process when they're making purchasing choices. B2C decisions are heavily influenced by desire and emotion, whereas B2B transactions rely more on logic and characteristics of the offer. So if you're a wedding photographer and you're thinking that you'd like to pivot out of the industry or even just slow down with your wedding bookings, but you think that the only alternative is to opt for a high quantity of cheaper shoots to make up the difference in income, it doesn't have to be that way. So maybe you book wedding packages at $5,000 and your portrait sessions are currently $1,000 and you're thinking, well, gosh, I'm shooting 20 weddings a year and that's like $100,000 worth of income and I'm going to have to book 100 portrait sessions in order to make up the difference. It doesn't have to be like that. My full day brand sessions are $8,000 at the time that I'm recording this episode. When I exited the wedding industry, my collections were booking at an average of $12,000. But when I look at the hourly breakdown, an 8 hour wedding collection with an engagement session and a 30 page album cost me an average of 38.5 hours of time. And that number held steady over my last few years in the wedding industry. And a full day brand session entails a total of 20.75 hours. So just over half the time, but at a higher hourly rate than weddings when you break it down by total cost and hours needed to produce the final product, because it ends up equaling out to $385.54 per hour spent for my branding clients versus $311.68 for weddings. So yes, the total contract value of weddings was higher, but it cost me almost twice as much time, which meant that I could serve fewer clients. With branding, we're making more per hour, and because of the way that I can space them out, which I'll get into in a minute, it means that I can accommodate more brand sessions per year than I could with weddings. Before we had kids, I knew in theory that I would want to be around for baseball games and ballet recitals, but like that was going to be years down the road, right? Turns out not so much. Once our first son was born, things got really real, really fast. Felix was born in 2019, and that year I had one free Saturday in the fall. Everything else was booked up with weddings. And I had plans for that one Saturday. Oh, did I have plans? It was going to be the perfect autumn weekend as a family kind of day. If you don't know our story, our journey to parenthood took years, and so I had a lot of time to think about what this idyllic day might look like. And when it finally came, I had put so much pressure on that one day to be absolutely perfect that I ended up ruining it because I was so stressed out. That day taught me that if my work schedule meant I was so starved for quality family time on a weekend that I ended up self-sabotaging it, something might need to give when it came to work. My students have learned this firsthand for themselves. Brand photography allows you to schedule work more consistently throughout the year instead of that crazy rush from wedding season of April to July and then August or September through November. Oddly enough, my busiest months over the last couple of years have been January and February, but that never happened to you as a wedding photographer. Because my work isn't happening outdoors, it means that we're not relying on good weather in order to schedule their sessions, which means that we can schedule at a time that works for my clients and my schedule. So when I'm on a sales call, I let my clients know that I typically book 2 to 3 months out and that my next opening is insert next available date. With weddings, the date was almost always non-negotiable. We had a bride change her date here or there based on my availability, but for the most part, the date was the date and I was either available or I lost out on the opportunity. With branding, you're the one providing calendar options for your clients, ideally dates that you've chosen ahead of time that work for you and for your scheduling preferences, and then the clients choose from that short list. So this ends up meaning that you can accommodate more brand clients than you're able to with weddings, because you're not trying to cram all of your revenue generating work into those beautiful but not too hot months of April to June and September to November, when clients are typically trying to schedule their weddings. Instead, you can book in January and February and in the dead heat of July and August, because you're photographing inside anyways and the weather isn't really that much of a factor. And add to that, we only schedule sessions Tuesday through Thursday, and I don't work in the evenings, so it means that I have a lot more consistency throughout my days, my weeks, my months, and even my years. And because my clients are B2B, this brand session it's a work expense. So that means they're thinking about it and planning their sessions during work hours. So if I say I can't meet in the evenings or I don't work on weekends, they're like, cool, samesies. I remember trying to schedule wedding consults in our old house. They were always, you know, inevitably requested for 6 p.m. or so. And we lived in a townhouse with an open floor. And Felix must have been 4 or 5 months old. And any parent out there knows all about witching hour, which means that he was fussy in the evenings. We also had 2 dogs at the time, both German Shepherd mixes, both big fans of barking at anything that had the nerve to move outside the house. So come 6 p.m., our house was noisy. So in order for me to have that consult without a bunch of background noise, Matt had to take Felix and both dogs into our bedroom on the 3rd floor and shut the door while I sat in my office on the 1st floor with the doors closed. And then when the consults ran long enough, it means that I missed putting my son to bed, which was a routine that I really love with both of our kids. One of the hardest parts of being a wedding photographer for me was the constant refrain of, I can't, I have a wedding. I want to be very clear, I am so grateful for every single bride and groom who booked me. I never want that to come across like I resented them at all, because it was truly a privilege to serve them. But those years of not being able to attend girls' weekends or family reunions or some of the fun activities that your church has planned for a beautiful September weekend, those started to accumulate. And I wanted to be able to say yes to those, but I couldn't set those weekends aside in advance because they usually weren't planned until, like, you know, a couple months out, whereas my wedding schedule was typically set 9 to 12 months in advance. It was hard to pack my car for a wedding while our town community was lining the streets in front of my house for the annual homecoming parade. My weddings were my priority because they paid our bills, and working on the weekends worked for us for a long time. But I started to miss the weekend living that was going on around us. I wanted some of that for myself, to be able to sip mimosas at my neighbor's porch party, or maybe even throw one of our own as the local high school band marches down the street and our kids race to pick up handfuls of candy thrown by the dance team. Like, I wanted to be present for that instead of, you know, being on my way out while everyone else was enjoying it in the background. So pivoting out of weddings for us was a lifestyle choice. It wasn't because I was sick of the industry or because I didn't love my clients. I did. I've had so many people, when we tell them I don't photograph weddings anymore, I've had so many people assume that I left because I was sick of, quote, bridezillas, which I hate that term. But my clients were wonderful. We didn't have bridezillas. Our clients were amazing. We pivoted out of the industry because as our lives changed, and my desire to be a particular kind of mom and a particular kind of business owner evolved, I realized that the business we had was no longer in alignment with the life and the business that we wanted. So choosing branding was a path that we took because, number one, I'm good at it and I love it. But number two, and equally important, was that it supported the kind of life we wanted to live outside of work. I haven't had a meeting during dinner time or during bedtime routine in almost a year. I haven't photographed on a weekend since my last wedding. This is one of my favorite scheduling hacks that we teach our students. So at the beginning of every year, I have a huge wall calendar that shows the full 12 months ahead of us. And first we go through and mark off any weeks or days that I'm not available for work due to birthdays, anniversaries, bank holidays, 2 weeks at Christmas, conferences with my mastermind, any other personal or work obligations that I want to save space for. And only after I have done that do I then go back through and put an orange dot on any Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday that I'm available for brand sessions. I get to decide when I work, so if I don't want to shoot during the month of December, then I just don't put any orange dots on those days. And since my clients' brand shoots aren't nailed to a specific date, I can say, I'm so sorry, I don't have any availability in December, so let's either look at November or January, and it's no big deal. Having calendar autonomy is something I will never take for granted. And another thing about working B2B, there is a huge potential for long-term relationships with clients to serve them with additional sessions as their business grows and changes. My favorite clients are the ones that I've shot for 2, 3, 4 times. My current record is 6 shoots for 1 client. My first session with any client is typically what I call the clean sweep. It's a whole body picture of their business. It's where we capture content for every stream of income that they offer, where we build a library of sort of custom stock photography that they can use throughout hopefully every area of their business with every offer on their rate sheet. Then subsequent sessions are where we get to dig in deeper and tell more specific stories. Sometimes I'm hired to come back and shoot for a particular campaign, like I got to do for Ashlyn Carter's homepage homecoming week campaign that led into her launch for her course Copywriting for Creatives. Amazing course, by the way. Definitely check that out. So for Ashlyn, I had already shot the clean sweep session. We'd actually done a couple of those over the years to keep her material fresh and engaging. But when it came time to the homepage homecoming campaign, say that 5 times fast, we were focused on working in these like sort of preppy, like homecoming week, back to school props and messaging. And we had a specific color palette that we were working off of. And we photographed on Yale's campus to keep that old school academic vibe going strong. And the result was an incredibly focused library of photographs that helped her run an extremely well-branded campaign that still aligns with the overall Ashlyn Wrights brand, but it had its own little sub-brand within the Ashlyn Wrights umbrella. And then later that year, I came back and shot for the same client for her holiday campaign for the Black Friday Cyber Monday sale she was running. I love that ability to serve my clients over and over again as their business grows and their needs change. And if you end up doing the same thing, you will find that with every session, the product gets better and better. And so it's not weird for you to reach out and ask if a business owner needs to update their images. It doesn't feel sleazy or slimy to sell to your clients because you have an existing relationship with them. There's existing trust built. You also know their brands well enough to start to see when a refresh is needed. Just last week, I was texting with one of my clients about something completely unrelated, and she threw in a note about, oh, I'm not quite ready yet, but I do need to get on your calendar soon to refresh my brand photos. So I asked her if it would be helpful for me to reach out in 2 months because I knew she's really busy right now. I was like, hey, instead of you trying to remember to do this, why don't I just put a reminder on my calendar for October to reach out and we'll schedule something, you know, to get your next brand session on the calendar. She said, that sounds great. I got an enthusiastic yes. When was the last time that someone said to you, yes, please sell to me. I know that I need it. This goes back to the idea of autonomy. With weddings, you're relying on brides to come to you or for brides to come to planners or venues and then for the planner or the venue coordinator to refer out to you. Yes, you can totally run ads. Yes, you can try connecting with couples on social media, but you're still waiting for them to initiate. Only once in my entire career as a wedding photographer did I successfully pitch a couple that had not expressed a desire to book with me. But as a brand photographer, I have more opportunities to pitch without it feeling gross or salesy. Because remember, B2B clients are more likely to make decisions based off of logic and benefits, whereas B2C clients rely more on desire and emotion. So if I can logically demonstrate to a business owner why they would benefit from updating their brand photographs, it's more likely to be successful. I'm not waiting for lightning to strike or for the right personality fit, like it often came down to for weddings. I have the ability to reach out and pitch my services, and my clients are typically receptive because it's not dependent on emotion, it's a logic-based argument. Like, hey, you've had a significant change in your business model, it's probably time to update your brand photos. And the client says, you're right, there has been a significant change in my business model, and my photos do now feel out of date. Let's schedule a time to talk. They have a problem, and it's not weird when I tell them that I have the means to help solve that problem. Pitching is actually something that Matt and I circle back to anytime our calendar is looking a little sparse. Like, okay, we have some openings in the next quarter or two that I'd like to fill. Who haven't we talked to lately? And of those people, who's had some kind of update to their business or a shift, or maybe they've raised their hand and actually mentioned that they want to update those images. And then we reach out to those people to get the conversation started. If you walk away with nothing else from this episode, let it be this. Making a living off of brand photography is 100% a viable option to weddings. Please do not let the high price tag of a wedding collection fool you into thinking that it's irreplaceable income, because it's not, I promise you. With the differences in pricing photographs for commercial use versus personal use, and the ability to schedule year-round and on terms that work for your scheduling preferences, and with the high potential for repeat clients, branding is a sustainable alternative for wedding photographers looking to either diversify their income or make an exit from the wedding industry altogether. But before you shoot your first or next session, you must understand the foundational difference in approach that branding requires, because you cannot photograph a brand session the same way that you photograph a wedding. So coming up in the next episode, we're covering exactly that, the number one change you need to make in order to crush it at a brand session. Hit this and you're golden. Miss the mark, and you'll leave both the client and yourself bored with the results.